Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here to bring an authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wednesday edition. It is Wednesday. My weeks are crazy. I never know what day it is, but it is Wednesday. It's hump day. We're here. Sean's here. Go like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Follow him at Sean Unfiltered. Follow me at Adam G. Sager. Follow the show at Unpaved on Rumble. Send your tweets. Send us questions. Send anything. We will try and answer it during the show. Sean, how are we feeling today?
I'm doing great, man. Make sure you guys like and subscribe to the show. We love having you on. I'm so enamored with the coaching situation, what Penn State's doing, the Chris Paul stuff that I hopefully will get to. I mean, and you know, Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh, and I got some thoughts on that about not only him, but when times run out, and we'll discuss that as well.
Yeah, last night we had some really good college basketball. Duke, Florida was a great game. We had a lot of great games. Kentucky, North Carolina was great. We had a lot of good games. But that Duke, Florida game, man, it was an ass-whipping in the first half. Florida couldn't handle Duke's just pressure. And then Florida bounces back, and Boogie Fland and Alex Condon showed why they're two of the better players in college basketball. They brought Florida all the way back, really should have won the game. Some poor defense at the end by both teams, allowing just wide open three-pointers. But Duke gets the win in Cameron. I think you got to feel good if you're Florida because you were able to come back in Cameron, where most teams get blown out. If they get blown out in the first half, Duke just continues on. Florida fought back. What'd you make of that game before we get going on the college football playoff rankings?
At one point, I thought it was going to be a total beatdown the way Duke was playing and had him. I think it got the 15. At one point, and it was just, and you know, Boozer, dare I say right now, Boozer may be better than his dad at this age than his dad ever was, and his dad was a monster on the boards, and he's so gifted and talented. But both these teams will be in a tournament, and obviously we know Duke will. In Florida will hit a better stride than they have early on, up and down. Last night looked more like the Florida Gators and the reigning ring that we're used to seeing. And I would think that they're going to continue to prove, but you know, resilience. But there is no, you know, they're not going to look at it. Segs, is the difference in football and basketball is football, you'll have 12 of them or 17 of them if you don't have college or NFL, and so you definitely don't get a whole lot of time for moral victories, right?
Right.
And when you're playing basketball, you're playing more of them, so, and you're playing more often. So sometimes you can gather, and I don't want to say full moral victory, but if you're Florida walking out of Cameron Indoor, you're saying, it would have been easy to have been blown out by 20 in that game after the way we started. So it's not a moral victory, but you do have to find a way to say, hey, man, we're playing against one of the best teams in America, to grab a few of those things that will help sustain you to play better like you did against Duke the rest of the way. But we had a night filled with phenomenal talent. And I'm telling you what, you look around the country, and every year it's like this. Anything new the last handful of years. But we've got some freshmen. You know, University of Houston's best scorer is a freshman. I mean, you look at Boozer. We've got some BYU. We've got some University of Arizona. There are guys that are, and it's as we see this a lot, where the freshman's the best player on the team. Hell, we saw it last year with Duke as well. I mean, we see it every friggin' year. But I'm just mesmerized by how ready to play, unlike freshmen in most other sports, even though they're getting better at it, football and baseball and other sports, they come in as like they're so mature for the most part. But basketball, that is the truest form of these kids coming out of high school are that good, and they are NBA ready. I hate to tell you that.
Yeah.
Maybe not the full physical grind of 82 games, but these cats are physically, as far as the skill set, they'll get more discipline as it goes along, but their skill set is NBA ready when they're playing on a high school floor. And then you see it shows itself early on when they're freshmen playing in college basketball.
And that's just the ramp up in AAU ball and all that stuff, because the games are becoming more AAU style. You're not running full sets every single time down the floor. It's just a lot of pick and roll and go, or just set a guy up, you know, overload
on your best player's hand and go create your own stuff. Yeah,
exactly. So that, I think that's the big reason why we're seeing such a jump in these, and the specialization of just playing basketball all your life instead of playing multiple sports. But before we get around the college football playoff rankings, because there's a ton to talk about there, Sean, tell me about Augusta Precious Metals.
Yeah, let me make myself clear on this, guys. And, you know, you see, we're at a time where there's a lot of debt in the country. It's going to hit $40 trillion sometime in the next year or 8 months. We're, you know, pushing $40 trillion now. And we say, what does that do to me? Well, it bothers all of us. And it also, it hits all of us. And I understand we start to think about, okay, gold and silver precious metals and Augusta Precious Metals is, go do your research. That's all I ever ask is education. If you don't, then you come back and say no. But I'm just telling you, and I've done research after research, and I was late to the precious metals party. Go do your research. Got a free guide I'm going to tell you about in a second, about helping you understand, guys, if gold is more valuable than the dollar you have in your hand, why in the world are you not stocking up on it? Or at least going to educate yourself. That's like saying I can get the same house, this house. There's a little bit of difference, but they're the same price, but this one's more valuable by a long shot and is going to continue to be more valuable. This isn't. Which one are you going to jump into? That's as kind of layman as I can make it, as plain as I can make it. A lot of people are uninformed about it, and I was, about precious metals and gold, tangible assets in your hand. I'm just asking you, go text Sean to 35052 and right there, click the link in the description below. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to get with $40 trillion in debt in Augusta Precious Metals, educating you and helping you understand what's going on. Is they've got a free guide, and it is called the $40 trillion threat report. And I'm not trying to scare you into it, but just go read it. It's a very simple guide, and it's free. That's going to inform you and educate you and understand what we're all playing, the game we're playing. We talk sports and the games they're playing all the time. I just don't understand. Don't be afraid. And I think a lot of people were afraid of the unknown. Well, why gold, precious metals? Do I got to go San Francisco and pan for it? No. Get this free guide. Text Sean, S-E-A-N, to 35052. The $40 trillion threat report. This is real. But I'm going to tell you, and in talking to experts that I'm not, but I know one thing with precious metals and how valuable gold is right now, that just go inform yourself. And when you're investing your money, you're thinking about your retirement and the confidence you have to retire. A lot of people are afraid to retire because, like, what if? Well, let me look at it the other way. What if I told you Augusta Precious Metals and gold and their education, they're going to educate you first before they even let you buy anything. When you educate yourself and you go and get the, just read that guide, simple, thumb through it for a couple minutes. And then when you hit that link and go into Augusta Precious Metals and get an idea, you're going to say, why didn't I do this sooner? That's all I'm asking you to do, because I've done it. I know friends of mine are doing it, but more people need to do it and understand. So if you're lack confidence every day, Sean, why? All I'm asking is go visit with them, hit that link, and then you're going to get a, this. They're not going out to sell you anything. They're not a commission-based company. That's not what they're doing, where it's a grab bagging for you and it's they're selling you something that isn't going to work for you. I promise you, or they wouldn't be affiliated with us and we wouldn't be with them. It's a great partnership, and we're grateful for it. I'm just asking you, please. I'm almost begging you. Not because it's for me. Listen, my whole thing is I know what it's doing for me, and they do too. Let them educate you. So hit that. Text Sean, S-E-A-N, to 35052, and get yourself educated on this. You would do it on anything else you do, right? You invest in stuff all the time, but you're not going to just go in blind, and they don't want you to. Go check it out. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll thank me later. You don't even have to thank me. Thank them. They're the ones doing the work. But Augusta Precious Metals and those tangible assets, don't be afraid and make sure you have confidence. Once you're educated, you'll understand why those who are purchasing precious metals and understand precious metals and gold are doing it regularly. And they're doing it because they understand it. I'm not sending you anywhere that you don't get educated, and neither would Augusta Precious Metals. We're in it for you. And in turn, everybody wins. So check it out. I'm looking forward to you guys doing that and hearing how that goes.
Make sure you go check out Augusta Precious Metals. All right, Sean, the newest college football playoff rankings came out last night in between all the college basketball. The top two stays the same, Ohio State, Indiana. Texas A&M falls four spots all the way to seven after the loss to Texas. You got Georgia. Texas Tech jumps into that four line right now while they still have BYU this coming weekend in the Big 12 championship. So they are currently the last team to get a bye. And then you have Oregon, Ole Miss, A&M, as I said, OU, Bama, Notre Dame. Those last two teams I just mentioned, they flipped. Bama was at 10, Notre Dame was at 9. So we see that jump of Alabama over Notre Dame, which is setting up the, first of all, we got to wait and see what happens in that Texas Tech BYU Big 12 championship. If Texas Tech does win, that leaves that opening for Miami sitting at 12. And you heard Hunter Yurecek say it last night. If you watch the show, he says the rankings are not set, that teams can still move even if they don't play. So that is setting up Miami to jump Notre Dame to get that 10th spot. And then, as we know, the 11th and 12th spots will most likely be filled by Virginia, Tulane, or North Texas, and then James Madison's in there. We're going to get two of those four teams in there. If Virginia loses to Duke, you'll get two of the group of five teams. James Madison, assuming they win, and somebody in either North Texas or Tulane. So how do you feel about the rankings right here? And on top of it, we had Texas jump Vandy, who we talked about.
Told you that was going to happen.
Yep. So Vandy's out, but even Texas at 13. There's nothing that can happen in front of them, I think, that puts Texas in to this playoff. Even if Bama loses, how do you punish Bama, as we talked about yesterday? How do you punish Bama for losing an extra game that they had to play and put Texas in over Bama in that spot if that were the case? If anything, I think you just take Notre Dame and Miami because they don't play. Their record's not changing. So I think they told us all we needed to know about Texas and Vandy.
So you're saying that you don't think there's any chance. First off, we the brand of Texas jumped Vanderbilt, okay? And at 13, though, I'm trying to look at how they are going to find their way in to the top 12. They're not. At least I wouldn't think so. I mean, as it goes, talking about Texas. Now, with Alabama, and you're right, they're playing another game against the third-ranked team in the country. And right now, as it sits, they'd be in. So if they get beat, do you punish them? And even if they get beat, there's no way Texas can be ahead of them. So Texas with the three losses and getting in, right? And that would be Bama's third loss if they get beat, correct?
Yes.
All right. So, Segs, as we stare at the Alabama situation, so if they get beat, does Alabama – let's say BYU, well, if BYU wins, we already know they're in.
Yeah.
But if Alabama loses, you say that you still think they're in the top 10?
I think it will be a discussion between Alabama, Notre Dame, and Miami. Because it's again,
see, I don't think there's any way Notre Dame's not in the playoff now. Tell
right
me how they're
now
not.
As it sits.
Yeah. Tell me how the committee's going to rule
think
them out
when it comes time to make their. You think just based on the way it is now that they're not jumping Miami over Notre Dame?
Here's what I think would happen. If Alabama gets curb stomped, gets beat by Georgia, I think Notre Dame's moving up a spot, and I think Miami's jumping into the top 10. And I think that, BYU, Texas Tech, doesn't matter win or lose, they're in.
Yes.
We do know this. And BYU has to win to get in. The question I have for you is, if Alabama loses, how does Notre Dame not going to jump them?
They might see it's.
And how does BYU not get to 10? I'm just telling you, BYU wins.
And they're in.
Yes.
They jump Notre Dame.
And they may jump Notre Dame, but they may jump. You think they're jumping Notre Dame, and Notre Dame ain't moving out of the top 10, dude.
If BYU wins, they jump Notre Dame, in my opinion.
I think that if BYU wins, Notre Dame and BYU are both in, and they're going to push Alabama out.
And yes, if Bama loses, there's a chance that, yes, I think. But again, you have to ask yourself, if you have Bama over Notre Dame right now, can you punish Bama? Let's say, okay, you said they get destroyed. What if they lose by 3 on a last-second field goal to a team they've already beaten this season?
Listen, I'm not telling you how I do it. I'm telling you they're moving their way back, right, Segs? I mean, they're at 9 or what, 8 right now? No, 9. Yeah, 9. Alabama's at 9. I'm just saying right now at 10. Listen, there's a scenario where both Miami, where Miami and Alabama can be out of this. You do know this, correct? There is that scenario by them. Maybe not by you or me. It does exist. Because if BYU wins, they're going to jump in to the top 10, correct?
Yes, yes.
Alabama loses. Alabama's the one that's kind of dangling there that I don't really know what the committee's going to think about it. I, honest to God, you're right. They've already beat Georgia. But if they go and lose a 3-point game to Georgia,
and remember,
are they staying there at 9? They can't go anywhere any deeper than 10. So
they
beat
Georgia in Athens.
No doubt about it. And now it's going to be, what, Mercedes-Benz? Is that where it's being played in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm guessing, yeah.
All right, so I'm just going over this, trying to, okay. We know right now there's nothing the first 5 that can do to be out. With nothing that
I'd say the first 8 are in, for sure.
Right, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and they're all in.
Yep.
Now it comes down to the jumble of you got to go North Texas, JMU, that whole situation, Virginia. And then you got Notre Dame, BYU. Texas actually still thinks they're getting – we've already proven now Vanderbilt's done. Vanderbilt, there's nothing Vanderbilt can do now that they – even though yesterday we thought they'd be ahead of Texas. I told you, be careful, be afraid of the brand because the brand's going to move, and they moved ahead of Vanderbilt with a win over Texas A&M. So with this, can you see a scenario that has BYU at 10 – Notre Dame at 9, Alabama out, Miami out, Texas out.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, and I think all that is BYU winning and
beating
Alabama
Texas
losing.
Tech. Okay, BYU loses, they're done. Okay? They're out. Yep. If BYU gets beat by Texas Tech. And those, if Georgia wins, Indiana, Ohio State, that first 4 may move 2-3, 3-2. Georgia
yeah,
may
we're, move. We're going to move some stuff
win.
Around.
They're still in. But if BYU loses, they're out, which now here's what I think Alabama does need in a committee's eyes. If you're Alabama and you play a close game to Georgia, you know what you're begging for? A BYU loss.
Yeah.
Because you want that will eliminate BYU. For Alabama, the committee can't even be tempted. BYU gets beat by Texas Tech. That would mean they got beat twice and they get beat in the championship game and they're sitting at 11 and they're not going to get to 10 with the loss. They'd be out. And if you're Alabama, you're like, okay, we've got that one. We've eliminated that, correct? You're with me on that?
Yep.
So that, but if Alabama, let's say Alabama loses by 10, okay. BYU loses.
Okay.
What's it look like then?
I think you just slide Miami.
And Miami's going exactly right. Miami's going to get in. Notre Dame will move into the 9 hole. Miami will be 10, and you'll get the combination of whoever you just let, Virginia, JMU, North Texas in the 11 and 12 spot.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where we're at. Basically, you've got Alabama that believes they should be in, even if they get beat. We're going to punish them for losing after they've already beat Georgia. And unfortunately, that's the weird reality. Like I said, you and I would have our own situation, but here's what I'm telling you. I still am trying to figure out how Texas gets in this scenario where they are now, judging from now. Here's what Texas would probably be pissed about. How in the world are you putting North Texas under the rules? I get it. But how is North Texas and James Madison going to be ahead of us?
Right.
Well, they're going to say, I get it.
Yeah, but that's all you got to. All the committee's got to say is, hey, these are the rules that that the committee that put the rules in place put.
Right.
So we can't change that. And you don't lose Florida. 4-8 Florida.
Right. No, like, no doubt.
I mean, simple.
But I 100% get it. I'm going to lead to one other thing. So you can see the scenario from the committee that Alabama gets beat and they're gone. BYU loses to Texas Tech and they're gone, which would mean your top 10 would be Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, OU, Notre Dame, and Miami in your 10. That's going to be it. If Alabama gets curb stomped and BYU loses, there is a legitimate chance that Alabama is going to get run. I'm just telling you, there is. And hell, there may be a chance that they lose by a walk-off field goal segs that the committee runs them with three losses. They may very well do that.
They might.
Because if they do lose by a field goal and they're left out or they stay in, guess what Texas is going to say? Let's compare.
Yeah.
You beat your team, do this. We got three top 10 wins. We just beat the what most people might have thought is the number one or two team in the country in A&M, and we beat them by 10. Why? Well, they got the – why are they in?
And, you're going to get that. That's why I was saying yesterday, if Alabama loses, I think they're out. Just from the three-loss visual, just from the three losses, I know they have to play an extra game. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think with the visual of the three losses, and that's why I've said from the beginning, I don't think Texas can make it. And
you think, how about this? Does Texas and are you a – you hit three losses and you're done, and I know Mark down here said everyone knows Texas should be in. Do I think Texas is one of the 12 best teams in the country? On paper, right. I do. Unfortunately,
but
they lost.
Don't lose to Florida.
That's exactly right. So there's an argument there. At least it's debatable. But the situation with Alabama, are you under the believability? And we do know, Isaiah, that Big Ten, ACC, SEC, Big 12, and a group of five, we know they're automatic bursts. We're not talking about the autumn. We're saying that we're just going through the what ifs. We do know they get an automatic bid. Doesn't mean we have to like the way it's set up because, quite frankly, the 24th and 25th team in the country have no business being in the top 12. I'm just sorry to tell you. They don't. Under the rules, they do because we've set it up like that. And North Texas, God bless you. What a great season. James Madison keeps pumping it out. Both of their coaches are so good, they're leaving to bigger programs. I get it. But I'm just telling you now, in a perfect world, in a world where you're saying, I want the 12 best teams, those two teams that you see sitting at 24 and 25 do not deserve to be playing with the top 12 teams, but the rules say they do, and two of them may very well be. With that, you're under the belief that if you get a three-loss team like Texas or Alabama, if you don't believe a Texas three-loss team should get in, because you've said all along that three losses, I want to eliminate you. But yet you still want Alabama in if they get beat by Georgia, and
no,
why?
No,
because
no.
They beat you. You want them out too?
I think it's
the committee's thoughts.
See what else happens? Yes, right, I'm kind of looking at the committee. I think the committee will keep them out. I know you could say no way they keep Bama out, as Jared said, but it's just the three loss thing, and they are going to push that off until they. And that's why I'm kind of surprised that Texas jumped Vandy. Vandy went to Neyland and beat Tennessee, and they beat them up. And I know Tennessee wasn't as good as we thought, but I thought they would keep them ahead of Texas because of the whole three-loss thing. And if you have that scenario where, you know, BYU loses, Alabama loses, that's what the committee wants. I guarantee you, in that room, unless you're a fan of either of those teams, they want BYU to lose, they want Alabama to lose. Because then I think it takes away that Notre Dame versus Miami decision that
there's
they
no
have
doubt.
To make.
They don't have to answer to that then.
Right.
And Isaiah, I don't know what you're talking about here. Isaiah, I don't get what you're talking about. You said, I absolutely disagree there, Sean. Bama needs to cheer for Texas Tech. Didn't I just damn well say BYU that Alabama's rooting for a BYU loss?
Yeah.
Oh, so semantics. Oh, okay, so you want them to cheer for Texas Tech. It's the same thing. Rooting for BYU to lose or cheering for Texas Tech to win. I just said that Alabama wants BYU to lose. Right. They're cheering. Bama needs to cheer for Texas Tech. A BYU win. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
I said Alabama doesn't want BYU to win because you want to eliminate BYU from the whole scenario because you're so far removed from the Texas Tech thing. Of course Alabama wants BYU to lose. That's what I said. So I'm not sure what you're disagreeing with. I'm not sure what you're disagreeing with. But I said Alabama is rooting on the Texas Tech side and rooting that you want BYU to lose. And I think we're at the point now, I don't see how Texas Longhorns, whether we think, I'm talking about us, we may think that they're one of the 12 best teams. If we lined up this group right here, are they 12 of the top 25? Probably, yeah, I get it. But again, you can't lose to Florida, who's not good. But with that, now looking at the committee side, we know that they love big brands and they love to travel. We know what they love. I'm just trying to figure out a scenario as a guy who lives in Texas and trying to figure out how the Longhorns at this stage get in.
You can't find it.
Who's got a bigger argument with three losses? Now, okay, because they beat Georgia in Athens.
Yes.
And they didn't lose to a four-win team, is what you're saying, right, Sig?
Yes.
So well, even in that
they
scenario.
They lost to Florida State, so right. Actually they lost to a worse team. But
there you go.
It's the fact that Alabama's playing the extra game. That's why. They're getting their
I'm not talking about Alabama
in the extra game.
Both Alabama losing to Florida State and is that what you said? Yeah, and Texas losing to Florida, both bad losses from state of Florida teams. My point is that you lend a lot of credence, as you should, to Alabama beating Georgia in Athens is my point. A bigger win than a worse loss.
And the fact that they have to play the extra game that Texas doesn't against Georgia.
Not only that, and Texas and Georgia curb stomped Texas. Correct?
Exactly.
There you go. So I get what you're saying. To me, at times there's no logic to the committee. A lot of the things we're saying, folks, if we could on our own show, and maybe we should do our own committee, and we will all our own committee with you guys and me and Sigs. I'd love to pick our championship team. And I understand the rules, but we get the opportunity. We don't have to follow any rules on it. We can say whatever the hell we want. No offense to JMU because I love him, and no offense to North Texas. I love the little guy, if that's what we're calling it. And we know what their coach has done a great job in their players. But in truth, there's not a soul on here on a neutral side or home. And I'm not even talking about home games or buys or anything. I'm just talking about the 12 teams that get in. The system's not right because while I like Group of Five in certain worlds, when Central Florida, we talked about yesterday, right now, Sigs, look how far removed on the committee's thought process University of North Texas and JMU are.
Oh, I know.
And so look at all the stuff in between them. But the rules are set up, so I get the rule part. But I'm just trying to picture a scenario, no matter what happens this weekend. And I see, as a Longhorn fan, they're going to say the Longhorns in. A&M fans will say, I don't want the Longhorns. I get all that. I don't go to – my Trojans don't deserve it, and they're not getting anywhere near it. But just look at it fairly. Somebody convinced me, other than the brand and the fact that I know who they beat, where they're sitting now and understanding what's in front of them and who's lost what and how they've lost, please explain to me how Texas is getting in.
They're not.
And if Alabama loses, Segs, as much as the committee made look, now what's going to bum the committee out is if Alabama and Texas are both out. They want the brand. I know that. But in truth, if Alabama loses by 10 to Georgia, even though they beat him, and you're right, Segs had to play the extra game. This is from a committee standpoint, not from mine, that there's a legitimate shot. And right now you'd say I'd favor Georgia. Obviously, they're ranked higher, but Georgia's playing damn good football. Mm-hmm. Georgia wins the game. I don't see how you're putting Alabama or Texas in, especially if BYU loses. I mean, BYU wins that football
game. Yeah. I mean, I think you could make the argument right now. And here's the thing. And I know what you're going to say and everyone's going to say. It's the brand. It's the brand. It's the brand for Notre Dame. I can make the argument right here. I have written down. We've got Notre Dame 10-2. Strength of their record. This is by the metrics the NCAA goes by.
Not your metrics, theirs, right.
The committee goes by. Strength of record, Notre Dame's at 13. Or let me go backwards. Notre Dame 10-2, BYU 11-1. Strength of record, Notre Dame 13, BYU 6.
Yep.
Strength of schedule, Notre Dame 42, BYU 35. Best win, Notre Dame number 17, USC, which is now 16. Best win for BYU, number 15, Utah. So a slightly better win in the committee's eyes. Worst loss, Notre Dame, number 12, Miami. BYU, number four, Texas Tech. So just by that resume is right there. BYU should be ahead of Notre Dame. And that's why the whole brand thing is what pisses me off, because all we hear from the committee, all we hear from the college football pundits that are out there talking every single week, we want the 12 most deserving teams, or do we want the 12 biggest brands? Because if we just want the 12 biggest brands, put Miami in, put Texas in, get rid of Ole Miss isn't a big brand.
You'll have Alabama, Notre Dame.
Get rid of Indiana.
Alabama. They're not Alabama, a big Alabama, Notre big Dame, brand. Texas,
yeah. Texas University Tech, are all get out of there. They're right. Not a big brand. So,
right.
I mean, it has to be the teams that won the games that have the best resume. And
listen, thanks.
One brand game. Names. I hate looking at losses also, especially when one team has more losses than another.
Brand name is horseshit when it comes to this.
Right.
I don't care. Now, when you say, well, Sean, then if you think that, then you'd love to have North Texas and James Madison. I'm not saying they're really good football teams. And they may, listen, neither one of those teams has a chance in hell. It'll freeze over first. And when I say to people, James Madison or North, Sean, you're full of shit. I mean, they're great. I'm not saying they're not good football teams. They are. They are damn good teams, and they did what they're supposed to do under these rules to have a chance to get in. I get it. I'm just telling you this now. At no time in your lifetime, the group of five team in a 12-team playoff is rolling through four games in this and winning a national championship. It will not happen. They'll win a game. You're going to get an upset. You're going to get a 12-5. Like you caught, yep. You know, the equivalent. You're going to get one of those, but the depth, they're just not going to be able to sustain that physical dominance. They'd have to have a guy transfer, guy sit out, coach, all the stuff. Could they maybe beat Ole Miss in a game with all the stuff? Maybe, sure. But the other side of that is they're not going to roll through Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas Tech, and then beat right. Notre Dame in the final. They're not. It's not going to happen. So now I said it yesterday. Are we picking, I know the rules are like this, but moving forward, are we picking the 12 teams that can win a playoff game or that have a big brand? Or are you picking the 12 teams, for me, I want the 12 best teams in America, not to win a playoff game, who can win a national championship. That's the goal. It's not everybody gets a trophy, you won one game, thumbs up, made an extra $4 million, now get your ass out, you got your ass kicked. And that is no, listen, James Madison, North Texas, they'll compete. And it wouldn't surprise me if they hang around in games. It's just going to be hard to win, to roll through the full gamut the way it's set. But as it's set now, that's going to happen. I get it. They're going to be in it. But I can't stand the brand. The brand. And I'm part of a team that's so are you, Sex Michigan. I'm Southern Cal. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a brand name, blue blood. Oh, it pulls weight. They travel. Pardon my French, but fuck them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm tired of that. Because if you got beat by Florida State and you get beat by Georgia and get boat raced, you probably have to three losses. And the way you're playing, it's not only just how you play, it's also going into this, how are you playing? That's another thing. Notre Dame's been curb stomping and playing good against their opponent. And you're right, Siggs. When you compare BYU to Notre Dame, BYU should be ahead of Notre Dame by what's gone on for the at least close. And they're only one slot apart. So my point is, Notre Dame is going to be fine. They're getting in, Sags, right? They're getting in. Right. You're not leaving them out. How are they falling out of the 10th slot?
But let me throw this question at you with the BYU Notre Dame thing. So with the resumes as they sit now, I, along with others, feel like BYU should be at 10, Notre Dame at 11. Okay.
If BYU beats Texas Tech, they should jump Notre Dame.
Yes, they will. I think so. But as it sits now, what if they're ahead of Notre Dame as it sits? Now I'm at the same question I was asking about Alabama. Does an extra game played against a team with a bye right now that now pushes BYU to the same record as Notre Dame push them behind Notre Dame? So the resume is better for BYU right now. And even if they lost, they still have the same record. Their strength of record or their strength of schedule is only going to get better facing Texas Tech again. So it's
playing an extra game, right? Yeah.
And this is where it's the committee, Hunter Yurchek, comes out and talks, and he just spills words out of his mouth. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Yeah,
agreed.
So,
agreed.
I mean, it's
Segs, if BYU beats Texas Tech, here's the way it, I mean, it, where it could look. Alabama gets beat.
Yeah.
BYU beats Texas Tech. The truth of the matter is, BYU should jump into the nine hole.
Yep.
Alabama would be eliminated, as would Texas. Now the question is, that would also, you that now you're faced with, oh, with, and Segs, no matter if BYU jumps Notre Dame, there's no way Miami's jumping Notre Dame as well, where they sit right now, right? And I know your qualms with the and Notre, that, they're yeah. going to have to address that.
That, that so, was the whole next thing.
Right. So I do know those first eight you see on your list are in.
Yes. You
know, I do. I also know that with a BYU win, they're out of, they're in.
The yes, question I would go BYU to nine and Miami yes. to 10.
Bama, right, and Notre Dame, Alabama, and Texas would all be home, is what you're yes. saying, under the current system.
Yes.
I get it. And, boy, the committee would piss down their leg, dude, if all three of those brand names were at home.
Yes. And I know, and that's, you know, I know there's going to be some drama come right. next Sunday when they make these picks right before NFL kicks off. Because even if you get the BYU loss and the Bama loss, Bama is still going to be pushing. BYU will say stuff, but nobody's going to listen because it's BYU. It's not Texas. If Texas was in this spot where BYU is, it'd be a completely different discussion. Or if Miami was in the ACC championship game, but, you know, and then they would be in. So it's just, it's tough right now. And I'm just excited to see what happens.
No doubt. What was the final score of doing it? I know it was a close game going forward. What was the final score of that Georgia-Texas game, Segs?
Georgia-Texas. Let me pull it
up. I know, and Mark makes a good point. It was, when we hit the fourth quarter, it was 14-10. How did 35-10. That
35-10.
Yeah, we'll see. And I Mark, that was my point. I thought it was 33-10 in my mind, Segs, 35-10. Yeah. Mark, I get what you're saying. 14-10 going forth. The problem is we don't play three quarters. We play four. They hung around. Then I can make the argument, well, Texas Tech, Texas hung around. They only lost by, what, a touchdown in Columbus to open the season. Listen, you don't have to argue with me. Texas, unfortunately, lost to the wrong team at the wrong time, meaning Florida. And they started slow and sluggish, and, you know, there was a time, and they started to play better. For them, I know, hope they get in, and I know three top 10 wins and the rest of it. The problem is you're going to get the argument. If they get in, if you put Texas in, all hell's going to break loose between Miami and the way if Alabama gets beat by Georgia, they're going to make this. Well, don't we deserve to be in? We beat the team that's sitting in the three hole now, all that stuff. The problem is if we should be judging on a full body of work. I'd love to see Texas. And I got a lot of my boys are fans in there, and I love Sark. But the truth of the matter is somebody's getting hosed, and a blue blood's getting in that may not deserve it, more than likely, Segs. I just hate that's going to happen.
And one last thing about this, and then we'll move on. We hear all about the SEC all the time when it comes to college football. There is a world where BYU beats Tech, Bama beats
Georgia.
Hard
to beat a team twice in one year at BYU in the game, even though Texas Tech's really friggin' good.
But if you get Texas Tech loses, you get Georgia loses, Sean, you're going to have three Big Ten teams getting byes. And
I know.
I don't. The loser of Ohio State and Indiana is not dropping out of the top four. They're staying in. And
Nor should they.
Oregon sits at five. They're sliding right into that. Maybe even up to three if Georgia and Tech were to lose. So,
yeah.
I mean, you could have the top teams in the playoffs. Yeah. But definitely three in the top four from the Big Ten. And I think that will piss off a lot of SEC people, including, you know, everybody that speaks at ESPN, you know, is pushing Texas and all this stuff. You could tell they get their marching orders of where to start talking at certain times because
I ain't no doubt about that.
Verbatim when you hear them speak. But then you would have, Ole Miss, you would have Alabama, you'd have Georgia. All in that 5 through 10 range. So, I mean, if we get an Alabama and a BYU win.
That was my last question. Now what?
Now you're pushing Notre Dame out for sure.
Yes. Right? That's right. That's the only way under that. I was saving that for last. I'm so glad you said it, because that's feasible as well, because Alabama plays well against Georgia. And they can, if they take care of that and BYU handles Texas Tech, which is, like I said, it's difficult to beat the same.
Yes.
Then I don't know how Notre Dame is in the final, which then that argument will kick back into what I said about how you got to change this, because you're going to look down and say, oh, North Texas or JMU are beating Notre Dame.
Right.
And the answer to that question is more than likely, absolutely not. Can they? Right. Maybe. But they see what I'm saying, Sinks? That's the one. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame is begging for Georgia and Texas Tech. We know that. They're begging for that, while Alabama's begging for Texas Tech over BYU. BYU controls a lot of little wild card in there for them. But there is no way in hell Notre Dame can move up if BYU and Georgia, I mean, BYU and Alabama both win.
Yeah.
Which pushes them to a slot that they don't, there's no slot because of the other two teams that you're talking about getting in 11 and 12. So I just don't see how it happens, man.
And
would mean that Miami, Texas, and Notre Dame would all be out. BYU-Alabama game guarantees, at least to the normal persons, people out there, that Texas, Miami, and Notre Dame are out of the playoff. Do you want to end that conversation we've just had for 20 minutes? Alabama and BYU both win. Because Georgia and Texas Tech are both automatically in. So that's four. These two games would mean four of those teams are in, which would mean University of Miami, Texas, and Notre Dame are out. And that may be very the remedy they need to change how the playoff is set up, honest to God. And they may, because the blue bloods are left out, you know.
I just want to see Alabama or BYU win, the other one lose. I don't care which one.
Right.
And I want to see the committee last second flip Miami and Notre Dame. I want to see that, because college football will explode. And it's honestly the right thing. They played each other. Miami should be over Notre Dame. But Notre Dame and college football will lose their minds.
The two
if scenarios. Miami's are at that the one? 10 line.
Right. The two scenarios are one of Texas Tech or BYU lose, like you said. And the other one is if BYU and both BYU and Alabama win. Not one of Alabama or BYU lose is what I, in your scenario. Yeah. And in mine, if BYU and Alabama both win,
Notre Dame, then
the Notre Dame fans, the Miami fans, that's how we're going to say, well, we're better than Alabama and BYU. You know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
So, but it's the chaos. Right. The easy way out for them is going to have BYU lose, right? BYU lose, Sigs, and Alabama stay in, right? Because they'll just keep Notre Dame in. They'll take care of the 11 and 12 hole, and Miami will be left out. And you and I both know it. Sad.
But I think true. So, yep. Speaking of chaos, Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, Penn State.
What are they doing?
What is going on? Kalani Sitake stays at BYU. Basically, he just used that Penn State job to get a raise where he wants to be. Out there in
the BYU Oval. Guy, he loves it there too. Yes. Man, the LDS,
and he's got him. Anywhere. He's got him fighting for a playoff spot.
Someplace Penn State's not okay.
Sean, currently it is National Signing Day, the early one, as we've talked about. Penn State is 136th in recruiting.
Why would you go there right now?
They have four recruits that have not left since James Franklin was fired. James Franklin has basically taken, I don't know the exact number, but it feels like 80% of the decommits from Penn State have all, you know, pledged to Virginia Tech. I mean, we've got Montana. We've got Missouri State. We've got Harvard ahead of Penn State in recruiting right now. Yeah, if you're a Penn State fan, you got to be freaking out right now.
This is the type that if Todd Blackledge, Kurt Warner, the running back Kurt Warner, Micah Parsons, they go through the 10 of your favorite Penn State LeVar players Arrington. Of all time. LeVar Arrington. If they all had kids recruit area that legacy sons for their dads, they wouldn't go there either.
Right.
Why would you? You don't know who the coach is going to be, and it's going to be your 15th choice. And he may end up being good, but 15th choice. And right now, if you sign there, you're like, I don't know, man. What kind of guy? Does he like me? Does he not like me? What is supposed to be a blue blood program that's had phenomenal success can't out-recruit Gustavus Adolphus in Minnesota, okay? That's where you are. Slippery Rock's going to jump in front of you and go, no dog, Slippery Rock.
No.
Okay, the Rock. And by the way,
Mark. Put them in the playoff.
Mark, we can't do the what ifs. I love you, brother. I'm with you. But you can't tell when I said curb stomp, getting beat 35-10 is a curb stomp, regardless of one down or 14-10 going in. And I'm not saying they can do it all the time. And you know I think Texas is a good team. Listen, I'm on the side of – I love me some Longhorns. But when you lose 35-10, regardless of how it happened, in three plays or 30 plays, you still got to beat 35-10. And so Texas – now, do I think that they're 25 points better than the Longhorns? Absolutely not. But Segs, back to this.
It happened.
Penn State, what are they doing? What are they – and you're even the Brian Hartlines of the world.
I was just going to say that.
Assistant offensive coordinator – at Ohio State, he's got a gig now. I mean, everybody, the only guy that's like, dude, are they going to stumble their way into Brian Kelly?
Seriously, I mean, it may feel like it because, but now their story, and let me, hold on, let's stay with Penn State, and then I'll talk Brian Kelly real fast. Yeah, you mentioned Brian Hartline. He goes to South Florida to replace Alex Golish. And there was talk of Brian Hartline being a guy for this Penn State job, and right. You couldn't secure that because you're off. I mean, there was whispers of a Penn State plane in Lexington, maybe meeting with Hartline and his brother, who's on the Kentucky staff, with Mark Stoops left. His future is unknown. So it's wild. I don't know. Brian Brom, is he a guy that can take him
right now?
But what's that do for you? I mean, right. We mentioned Eli Drinkwitz extension.
He got extended. Yep.
I mean, what's his name? The defensive coordinator from Oregon. He goes down to Cal. So
Lapoy.
Yeah. Lapoy, this all just, I don't know where they go from here. Do you go get, Brian Daboll. And then there was talk of who you're going to talk about in a little bit. What about Mike Tomlin? Great recruiter, great coach. Could he make the switch to college and go coach the Nittany Lions? He knows the area. He's a big name in the area. Could that make some sense? I have no idea, but the Nittany Lions AD and company are screwing this thing up badly, and they're setting themselves back possibly years.
Oh, there's no question. Not possibly. I don't know. You know what the equivalent of their recruiting class is? Is you having the death penalty and not being able to recruit anything.
Yeah.
That's where they're at right now. I don't understand what the administration's doing there. Are you telling me that a lot of guys turning the job down? Yeah. Are they not offering anything? Like- are you waiting for Mike Tomlin to be fired, which we'll get to? Sags, real quick, just a little side, you know, the wealthy useless knowledge that you may not need, but is pretty interesting. I want you to take you back. We talk about coaching staffs and how important coaching is, and this kind of aligns with Penn State. Let me take you back to the 2015 Alabama coaching staff. Head coach Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin.
Pretty good.
Defensive coordinator Kirby Smart.
He's pretty good.
Offensive line coach Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
Wide receiver coach Billy Napier. Linebacker
struggle coach, apart,
but still good.
Yeah.
He's done a good job. Tosh Lapoy, linebacker coach, head coach Cal.
Just got a good job.
Mel Tucker probably got paid more than he should, but Mel Tucker coached the DBs, which is Nick Saban's baby.
He's a good defensive coach.
Right he is.
That's what he's good at.
I was about to say, Mel knew how to recruit, knows how to be a defensive coach, and he was good at it. And then their GA in 2015, Oregon head coach Dan Lanning. Alabama staff, and I'll guarantee you, if we look at some of the analysts on there, there's somebody who's been somewhere too. The guys who had been fired somewhere else and were, you know, moved their way there. My point is, who's left for Penn State now? Are you asking me the question now, Segs, about Mike Tomlin? or do you want to wait on that? You want me to get into that about that job and then talk about what James Harrison said about Pittsburgh?
Yeah. If you want to go right into that, that makes sense.
If Mike Tomlin left or got fired, I think Mike Tomlin would be outstanding. I'm just going to say this about Mike Tomlin, and we'll get to the stuff. Well, Penn State could do a lot worse than Mike Tomlin.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mike Tomlin, this is no knock on him. This is just the landscape of sports and football and work in general. The speech, even though new players come and go, the speech enthusiasm and the comfort level of complacent, not just with the coach, but with players and staff, it's got too comfortable. And I'm going to tell you right now, name me the last time you thought Pittsburgh destroyed. Now, it felt like they had a good offseason with Rodgers and making the trade for Metcalf. But really, Sags, when did they load it up and you thought, man, they had a great offseason?
Yeah, they normally don't. It's so, just kind of like draft picks and
they've had a great organization, but the front office and load them up. Listen, I think it's time, it's stale. I'm not even talking about for Pittsburgh. I think for Mike Tomlin, I want people to think about in your life, you're doing the same thing. I don't care if it's your job, whatever, the same thing every day. Routine's good, but you're doing the same thing and you find yourself sitting on a couch and you say, I've been doing this for 4 straight months, the same shit every day. What happens? Your enthusiasm to work out. Now you're just, you need motivation, but that's temporary and you're looking for discipline for permanent. You just can't find it. We all find it at one point in our life, right? Where it's like, this just blows, right?
Yeah.
I think that Mike Tomlin's at the point now where it's become a job, not a career, and it's become stale as hell. Not only for him to them to him. The speech when he goes upstairs to the Rooneys, everything. I would imagine, I think Mike Tomlin's been fantastic. Love him. I think it's time for Mike Tomlin, if they don't fire him, to walk away and go get another gig, because he'll get another gig. In pro sports now, the Andy Reids, the longevity of what Saban did, that doesn't exist. Go look at LSU's coaches with Saban, Kiffin, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles. The longest one of the 5 or 6 last. You know, the longest one is Les Miles for 12 years, and that was probably 3 years too long.
Right.
So the point is, I think for Mike, and maybe that's permeating through the organization where they can feel it, I think people are taking it for granted. I think it's automatic. Oh, well, we'll win. Mike will win 9 or 10 games automatically. I think the team's stale. I think the organization has become stale. The fan base hasn't. They deserve better. And I think that Mike Tomlin needs a shot of Red Bull, and I think he needs some 5-hour energy and move on. I think it's time, and if Mike wants to go to Penn State, will be better with Mike Tomlin than they were with James Franklin. But the question is, how long is Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh needs a facelift,
yeah.
And Mike Tomlin deserves a change. It's time.
Yeah, and
I love Mike.
My question would be to Mike, and it's something he would have to answer, is college of interest to you, or do you like being at the NFL level? I mean, the team that sticks out immediately, if he were to become available, who needs him and his style? Miami Dolphins.
No doubt.
You need somebody that will go down there. Yes. And that will, he will turn that around, I think, quick. Now you got to figure out the quarterback situation with Tua, because he's not it, but he's paid. You got to work in a young quarterback, but he will start churning that roster to get it more physical, to not get it so soft, and start building it back up.
There will be a pillow fight in Miami. Oh, he's the first guy you go to. Because what happens, Sags, if you're a defensive coach, teams usually go offensive coach. When you're an offensive, they usually hire the next guy's defense. If you're a 3-4 guy, they hire a 4-3 guy if you've had failure, and vice versa. And if you're finesse, they go find the physical guy who gets in your kitchen and lets it go. So accountability, I just think it's all stale in Pittsburgh. And, Mark, I am relaxed. I understand what you're saying about your Longhorns, but this is just good banter. You can relax, too. We're just talking sports. But, yeah, but that's okay. There you go. I just – for me, and I appreciate the good banter too, Mark. To me, it's time for Pittsburgh. They've had 3 coaches since the mid or late 60s or something. 3 of them.
Yeah.
3. And Mike Tomlin's grind for him's got to be old. And the Pittsburgh Steelers feel old and filled with underachievers. It feels like a lackadaisical team that's not accountable. And the one thing they've always felt like they've had is in the organization is accountability. It's time for a full makeover. They need makeup. They need Botox. They need fillers. They need weight loss. They need the shot. They need everything at Pittsburgh. And I lean towards Mike being better than some of the players that are on the team, but I would imagine Mike's speech has gotten old there and it's time to move on.
Someone mentioned in the comments, what would you say with kind of everything you're just saying, and it makes sense, would you say the same thing about John Harbaugh and the Ravens?
Getting close.
Getting close.
John's a great coach.
They've had more success over the last
recent
years. Now, this year is a struggle. They're fighting for that division with Mike Tomlin's Steelers.
And I'd hire John in 5 seconds, too. Oh, that's another guy.
Same thing.
Baltimore feels like that it's getting eye rolling at times as well.
Yes.
No doubt.
So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I saw something today, and there was talk of there's not the Ben Johnson or the Mike Vrabel at this time of who's expected to be available in the NFL coaching search, but someone threw out Marcus Freeman. And why do I bring that up? Because if Marcus Freeman wants to, and he jumps to the NFL, and I think this might have come from Schefter. I'm trying to remember. I saw it right before the show started. That opens up another major program in college football in Notre Dame if Marcus Freeman were to leave and go to the NFL.
Why would he leave? Why would you leave?
I have no idea. No idea, but it was thrown out there from
a dream job?
NFL guy.
What's a dream job?
You think it's somewhere you go and you stay forever because you're getting paid a great amount of money and you're winning games and you're playing for national championships.
So is dream job's really not bad. A dream job's who's paying you the most next. And I'm not saying Coach Freeman because I don't even know if he'd be interested.
Yeah.
I'm talking about for any coach. The dream job. You know what the dream job is, Siggs? It's the next one that's open and the next one that pays you the most money and the next one that fills your ego.
Well, that's
the why else did Lane Kiffin leave?
Yeah, that's the Lane Kiffin route.
You've got the most historic blue blood program in major in Notre Dame, right? I mean, you could throw a couple other teams in the conversation, but Notre Dame's near the top of the list.
Yes.
Why would you leave? Does he got a better chance to win a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh or Miami, or a better chance to win a national championship at Notre Dame? You would think.
It's that probably whole NFL thing that
it's just the temptation of.
See it in the NBA.
People still feel like head coaches still feel like, well, college football is AAA compared to Major League Baseball, which is NFL. Right. That's no longer true when it comes to salaries. It's no longer true when it comes to good football. And it sure as hell is just no longer true on the scope. But there's something, those are the big boys. And in truth, college football is a better watch than the NFL is on a weekly basis. Yet there's something that says if you can succeed in the NFL, the Sabans have done it. Belichick's trying it. The NFL, the college to the NFL. Saban wanted to succeed in the NFL. Bill's having trouble in college, and they're talking about they're going to bring him back. And Saban didn't have success in Miami and then knew his place and stayed there. And that's part of it, understanding where you belong. The question is, I think all of them, the scratch the egos. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm not sure Lane Kiffin's done not wanting to be an NFL coach at some point, Six. Yeah. We talked about, what happens if Alabama comes up with Saban, would Kiffin leave LSU to go to Alabama? What happens if the Miami Dolphins offer him and they leave or the Pittsburgh Steelers want to be the coach?
What if Dallas?
Is that the step up because he didn't have the success he wanted with the Raiders? See what I'm saying here? I just am telling you, give me a top 10 job in college football, and I would never leave for a shitty-ass job, quite frankly, because if you're hiring a coach, Pittsburgh's different because they've had a long history. But if you're leaving Notre Dame or one of those for Miami Dolphins, for what? To get fired again in 5 years? Yeah, save it. I'm with you.
Although, I mean, it did work out for Saban because then he went to Alabama and became the greatest college coach ever.
No doubt. But Saban had success everywhere. He left Miami, came back. But Saban, the great thing about him is, well, we all have egos. Nick knew where he was going to be successful and stayed there.
Exactly.
He went back. Dr. J, you're right. Sean, would if Freeman leaves Notre Dame, if he had the chance to go to USC, yes. But we have a coach right now, okay? So, it'd be great.
I'm working on that to go to Michigan.
I know you are, in
Ann Arbor.
I hear you.
I've started that train. So I got a call with Lincoln Riley in about 20 minutes. So we're going to make that happen.
I'd say you can have him, but I'm not checked out on Lincoln yet. I like him. I do. Not checked out.
That's why I want him, because he's still really damn good.
No question about it.
All right. As we end every show, as we always do, our bet of the day.
One thing, though. Can you do me a favor before we go, Sags? I don't mean to interrupt you. I know we got to go. But Can we let the people hear what James Harrison said about Tomlin real quick?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, do you mind? I'm just kind of curious. I've been working all day, so I just want to hear what a former player said about his coach. I want people to hear.
You to play beyond your potential. My potential for me as an undrafted free agent was a special teams player for life. But Keith Butler was my linebacker coach, and he got me to play beyond my potential. Mm-hmm. He was a great coach. Dick LeBeau was a great defensive coordinator. He got our defensive players to play beyond their potential. And right now, we can't even play to it. So you tell me where there's a good coach on this staff. Because right now, I don't see anybody playing to their potential. Mike Tomlin is in control of hiring coaches, okay? And he may not be the one coaching the position, but he is in position to hire the coaches to get the potential out of our players. And right now, he has not put coaches in the position that can get the potential out of what it is that we have. Because I know what TJ Watt can do.
Mm-hmm.
I know what Cam Hayward can do. I've seen what Alex Highsmith can do, brother. I've seen Jalen Ramsey, Patrick McQueen. I can go on and on, but I'm not seeing it. Why? And I go back to this. 2013, I went to Cincinnati, bro. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I played in a 4-3 defense. The defense did not fit me for my potential of what I was capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was not a player that fit that scheme, okay, that didn't work for me.
That what you
right now, right? And right now, we have a lot of players that are not fit for the scheme that we run. The interior defensive linemen have to hold up to the run because we're supposed to be a 3-4 defense, bro. Which means the linebackers are there to make the plays, but they can't make the plays if the D-line is in their lap half the time. Okay? Something has to be done, bro. Mm-hmm. And I know the Steelers historically don't move on from coaches. But I think it's time that history be made, because right now, the only history we're making is being the worst Pittsburgh Steelers team statistically almost in the history of the organization.
All right, let me tell you, James Harrison didn't miss one damn thing in his explanation about this. I've said it all the time, and at times it falls on deaf ears. And let me get to the point real quick on this, Ralph. And it applies to Mike as well. Applies to anybody. You are only as good as two things in your organization. The players who have the ball in their hand or have to make tackles and do that. Getting good players. And two is making sure that your assistants are top-notch. And I'm going to tell you now, I preach it every time. Lane Kiffin, whoever gets a new job, quit just looking at the head coach. Because if Lane Kiffin hired a shitty staff or a staff that was kind of his buddies and the rest of it, I got news for you. He'll be fired in 4 years, no matter how good he is. Part of being a great coach is understanding buy-in from your players and maximizing the room or the field, meaning I got to coach to their strength, not to mine. I know what my strengths are as a coach. I know what X's and O's are. I got to find the guys that fit what I'm doing, hence what James Harris said. By the way, James Harrison scares me. Okay, very few guys in the world scare me. I don't want to – that's a guy, if there's a fight going on, I'm bringing that cat with me.
Couldn't get past how he was talking.
Dude, he's got that talk of you better approach this properly. James Harrison is a friggin' grown ass man, but he's spot on. And so one, a coach's responsibility. Now you got to have a front office, but a coach's responsibility, and this goes back to the boredom or the getting for everybody in the Pittsburgh organization or any organization that's going through this, Sags, Pittsburgh, because of James Harrison talking about it, is you've got to find a way to take a 6 and make him a 9. You just do. That's what we say about quarterbacks. Well, How does a quarter? You just got to take your right guard, and he's got to have out of body experience every week. Where he's got to, if he's average, he's got to play good every week. And if you're good, you got to play great. And coaches at position coaches to maximize. If he's great, you got to keep him there. That's why I always say, when you're looking at success of a team, why we should have the Hall of Fame, assistant coaches should be in it. The assistant coaches spend 90% of the time with the players, not the head coach. The head coach is one of the greatest abilities he has to have. He's going to get a lot of help scouting players, but he's the one hiring all the coaches. He has got to do the due diligence. Mike or anybody else, hiring a staff is as important as anything you'll do. And the success of a team, aside from the talent on the field, I think is far more determined. I mean, far more will determine your success than a head coach who becomes a CEO and leader. Now, if you're Andy Reid and you're calling plays, but think about it, as good as Andy Reid is, look at his staff. Pretty good special teams coach, pretty good defensive coordinator. He's got good people. Take a look at the Rams. I mean, start to look at the Rams. They've sent guys out. Kyle Shanahan. Teams that win regularly have great assistant coaches that everybody else wants to hire. Alabama. So with Pittsburgh, right now, if I said who's a DB coach in Pittsburgh, most people have no idea. And he mentioned two guys, Dick LeBeau, Hall of Fame football player, would be in the Hall of Fame as a coach if Dick LeBeau, they put him in. Secondly, Segs, Keith Butler was a teammate of mine when I was a rookie in the league. I knew when I was a rookie in the league, Keith Butler was going to be a coach. I just knew he was. And then a coordinator. And Butts, we called him Butthead, but I mean Butts, but he was, Keith Butler was a phenomenal teacher. Forget the motivation shit. That's temporary. The discipline to teach and do it right every day. Pittsburgh's not doing it right offensively or defensively. Forget every day. They're not even doing it right three or four plays in a row on a regular basis. So, and that goes back to Mike, who I think is a good coach. I do, and I've loved him. I would love to play for him. But, and I love his energy, and I love his no-nonsense shit. But there comes a point in time, not only does it look sluggish on the field, Segs, I feel like the teaching that they're allowing stuff that's not elevating on the practice field to happen. There is a lot of energy that's been lost at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. And it is time. It's time for Mike to go get a new gig, and he's worthy of it. And it's time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to look. Listen, they are loyal when it comes to coaches to a fault. Sometimes you just know when stuff's run its course and it's time to move on. You better hire good ones, and you have to coach players to play their best and put them in it. James Harrison's not a 4-3 guy. James Harrison's a 3-4 linebacker. Why would I take a Tom Brady and have him RPO and get to the edge? What? Because that's the only thing I teach? The greatest coaches in the world look into it, each player individually, and say, what gives me the best chance to win at his position with that guy? And then you move on to the next one, the next one. And Pittsburgh's not doing that. You can't look at that roster and tell me one guy that's overachieving this year on either side of the ball. Now, there may be statistically in their room that say, this guy's playing better than he did last year. I'm talking about dominance. That team's not getting better. James Harrison, tell me where James Harrison missed. Tell me what he said that wasn't right. You may be afraid to death with his presentation because of his voice. Tell me where he missed.
He didn't miss at all.
So even when you look at your favorite college hiring coaches, do me a favor. Make sure you understand that you're about as good as the assistant coaches who are teaching as a head coach.
Yeah. It's definitely something we'll continue to watch there in Pittsburgh. A quick update, what we talked about earlier that's gone on since the show started. Penn State is now 150th in the country in recruiting, and some big recruiting news. Chris Henry Jr., the son of the late Chris Henry, the wide receiver from the Bengals, has not sent his paperwork to Ohio State, strongly considering Oregon and USC. So this is a... And we already saw one Ohio State commit, wide receiver commit, decommit, and sign with USC. This could be a second one, and it's because of Brian Hartline leaving to go to USF.
One of the great wide receiver coaches in all of sports.
Yes.
You ever heard of this? And he was a coordinator at Ohio State, but he's been a wide receiver coach.
Yes.
You ever seen this, Sakes? Fight on for old SC?
Yes. We've seen
it. V for victory.
Number one class in the country. So, I mean, they're doing it.
Lincoln ain't going anywhere right now. So you and your Michigan Wolverines suck it, okay?
And this is where you look at National Signing Day and you see kids that I'm going to Alabama on October 15th, 2024. Here we are.
You can't sign. They only can commit. Right. Yes.
2 months later, day of, I'm going to go to Vanderbilt, as we just had a top commit do from.
Yeah.
Vandy stolen a top commit from Alabama. And obviously, as we talked about yesterday, the number one commit in Jared Curtis now going to Vandy.
You know what the fools better start to do? Better recognize, Segs. You better, you fools better recognize.
Andy's taking
and by the way, to all you callers, the conversation, you guys are awesome, man. I love the banter. And I love how different and how different that we think, but it's cool. And we always have good, respectful stuff. So thank you. But Segs, you got to hire him. Like, well, I could say in our gig, if a producer's not any good, we're not going to be any good.
Exactly.
We got a good producer who makes us, I mean, we do. We got a couple of them. We're with between Bailey and Triple E and and it's the same thing. And it's not ask us. It's just a fact, man.
Yeah.
Teams I've been on, I can name our staff at SC and you say, wow, Hudson Houck, Hall of Fame offensive line coach. Chuck Pagano was a graduate assistant when I was there. Dave Wanstead, Super Bowl champion. It was a phenomenal defensive coach. And at his head coaching, man, North Turner is a Hall of Fame assistant coach. He just is. I told you, Hudson Houck. We had R.C. Slocum. We had Gil Haskell, who was Mike Holmgren's offensive coordinator. And he was our receiver coach. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's nuts. And you know what? With that staff and Marcus Allen and Chip Banks and Roy Foster and Bruce Matthews and the group, we should have won a national championship about three times. Quarterback sucked, man. Never
seen the problem. Who held that team back? Jesus.
Right, exactly. And our fifth running back could have started at 100 other places. But, hey, who's keeping track? Yeah. But those assistant coaches matter, man. And
if you can't throw the ball, you can't win. And obviously that USC team could not.
Well, we could win. We just did it to, but we just gave it to Marcus and said, go carry it 40 times. We don't need to throw it, right?
Right.
No doubt about it.
Our bet of the day. We got another great college basketball night. Number 6, Louisville. Pat Kelsey has.
And you won the bet last night, Segs. I did. And at one point, I think, oh, I'm getting this cover. This exit.
Yeah.
And then, boom, they brought it back and, you know, beat him at the end there. So good and on you.
I did actually bet it. So I did check. Cash that check after that game ended. Louisville, a 3.5-point favorite over John Calipari and Arkansas. This is part of the ACC-SEC challenge. Runs two or three nights. I can't remember exactly. But this is the last night of that. I think Pat Kelsey just has the Cardinals playing too good right now. I think they're kind of on a heater, so I'm gonna roll, give up the 3.5 and roll with Louisville.
I actually believe that Louisville, and you said, you know how I am about game-to-game momentum, right? I believe game-to-game confidence. That heater for me is the confidence side of in-game momentum. We saw last night how, boom, Florida got back on a roll and closed that gap. I like Louisville in the game, too. I think Cal's going to have his team as it rolls on. That university will play better. I mean, they're good. Cal is going to get some one and doneers that are going to matter as we roll along, and Arkansas will be a player in it. But right now, there's no question about it that in my mind, I think this is a 4, 5, 6 point game. Give me Louisville with the way they're playing, like them.
Yeah.
What's the points in that, Segs? Are they in the? It's like
165.5. It's
a lot. It's all the way up there.
Yeah,
oh,
Louisville's been scoring, and Arkansas. That's
which
all they
games?
Do.
You said 165.5.
Yeah.
With the hook there, that means what's that high, Segs? We're looking at a 92-85 type game. They're going to score.
It'll be in that range.
I was thinking 160s, 170s. They got that thing all the way up in the .180 range. That's incredible.
So it's going to be fun, but we'll continue to follow this college basketball season as it plays out. And we got a lot of really, really good teams. Tomorrow, we'll get more back into the NFL. We didn't basically talk any NFL besides that Mike Tomlin stuff. We'll start looking ahead to the weekend, the big games. We got Bears, Packers. We got others. And then we'll start kind of looking ahead to conference championship weekend with the Big Ten and all these major games. But the two major games we talked about, Georgia, Alabama, Texas Tech, BYU. Those two games, I think, will determine who gets in, who gets left out in the college football playoff.
And you love this time of year, Segs, that right this year?
Yep.
Because it's December and we're still talking about your Bears, and they are the number one seed in the NFC. When the last time you got to say that, and stand your Michigan Wolverines are playing off the charts hoops. Your Michigan Wolverine football team was close. They just didn't get where they want to. They're crazy. And your Chicago Bears, are the number one seed in the NFC. So good on you. And my Trojans are not going to the playoff. My Trojans basketball team's decent. The Chargers, pretty good. Rams, good. I'm talking about there. But my Raider team, they can't beat Michigan. So there you go. There's where I'm at. So blow it. Okay? Suck it.
I know they've been a little down these last few games, but watch out for those Blackhawks. That's all I'm saying. I know we don't talk hockey.
Dude, you know if you want to talk hockey, I'm in.
Connor Bedard about your
first, Yeah, wasn't your first-round pick this year, Sags, a quarterback for Minnesota? Didn't you get to have a first-round pick from Minnesota at Dinah? Wasn't he a Blackhawks first-round pick?
Yeah, I can't remember if it was first-round or early second-round, but they
he finished. Like, he played the state championship game instead.
They won.
And he played the whole year, and they won the state championship, and he's going to go play for you guys, and in a couple years may turn into a star. Minnesota produces some pretty good hockey players, so good on you, Blackhawks, man.
That they do. So we'll be talking NFL. We'll be talking college football, start breaking down games, looking ahead. Could talk Chris Paul tomorrow and what's going on in the NBA. Breaking news that I don't know that I ever would have said again. Zion Williamson, he got hurt again. So, I mean, he'll just he's
let me
miss
tell you something, dude. That dude's soft as wet tissue paper. It's a, what a shocker. Oh man, he's got a, this abductor and this that he will. I'm just telling you now, he will never reach his potential ever. He's just a and regardless, I don't dislike him. I just think that you'll never get a full season at him. You're looking at Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, talented out the ass, but you're never going to see it because a hangnail may put him on the shelf for 21 days. It's pathetic.
Yeah,
it really is. And I hate to talk about guys that are hurt because he may be hurt, but it's just and I guess I start to question how bad do certain guys want it when stuff like that. Hurt and injured are different. I just feel like enough guys, and I know we got to talk about Chris Paul, too. We'll get into that tomorrow, too. We can wrap on that tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just I wish the NBA was more easy to watch. I love the game, but it's just Oklahoma City, what are they, like 22-1 or something? And but then you just see the whistles that SGA continues to get, and it's just it's not a watchable product right now, the NBA. It's not. You cannot sit and watch that. Any games, night in, night out. You just can't do it. So, but we'll talk some NBA as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central.
My right adductor's hurting those things. I may not make it tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say that's.
Yeah, I got a, I got a pulled fallopian tube. That may be out for a week. Good gracious.
Give Zion some time. He'll have that injury. thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Bailey. Go like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. We really appreciate it. And you can get notifications that we are going live every single day. So make sure you go like and subscribe. We will be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.